Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, prolific Dutch striker. Played for Leeds, Chelsea, Atletico Madrid, AZ, Boa Vista, Borough, Charlton and Cardiff. A lot of clubs. 14th all-time top Premier League goalscorer. Shared a golden boot with Michael Owen and Dwight York in 1999. They get to keep it alternating weekends. Currently manager of Burton Albion and, of course, author, but let's see what the book club and special guest Maisie Adam thought of his book, Jimmy, in today's Football Book Club.
This book dissected my psyche in a much more sinister way.
It's not my world, but I would like to explore under the sea.
I think Jimmy might be the source of Avril Lavigne's Skater Boy.
I used to live in a number 6, which, of course, is an upside-down 9.
In 10 lines, he's gone porn, pregnancy, childhood manners, chips with vinegar.
Yay! Yay! Oh. Well, that is way too enthusiastic for this show.
Well done for making it through that, James. Well done.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Oh, alternating weekends. What a hard thing to say. Anyway, hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each episode we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Stig Larsson, more Henrik Larsson. Amazing, man. That's good.
That was a proper laugh.
Yeah. Jack was not impressed, as always. Tash's shaking her head.
That's lazy.
For context, we've heard about like 40 of these, I'd say now.
Right, you have the sort of glazed over look of somebody who's listened to 40 literary football puns.
and read 40 books alongside it. So I think that is a good way of describing us.
Dead in the eyes. And then you have to pretend that you like them to the audience.
Yes.
Because they send them in.
All right, Jack, blimey. but generally, we're running low. So if you can send them in, despite that, please do.
It's probably because I keep insulting them.
No one wants to send them in. They're scared. Thanks to Jack Swindlehurst for sending that one. He's second who's got on the show. Can be done. Well,
good.
Jack. I'm James Berg, and over the weeks, we were reading classics such as Alan Dunn's Done It the Hard Way and Rodney Marsh's Priceless. But today, we are reading Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's 2005 book, Jimmy, and joining me to read it, as always, are Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
Natasha Frisco.
Hello.
And welcome to the show, stand-up, Leeds superfan and star of 8 out of 10 Cats, Mock the Week, Have I Got News for You, and loads more, it's Maisie Adam.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. Good. We're very good, actually. Great to have you. How are you doing, Maisie?
I'm all right. I am... frankly, relieved to have finished the book. I'm glad that this is no longer hanging over me.
The albatross round your neck.
Yeah. I feel like how I imagine not experienced runners finish after a marathon. They regret taking on the task and are just glad the ordeal is over.
This is a very common theme with our guests.
I want to be clear. It is of no reflection of this podcast, more a reflection of the literary works of Mr. Hasselbank.
I mean, we did record for 4 minutes at the beginning and I realised I haven't pressed the record button. So, I mean, I would be pretty exhausted after all that as well. So, yeah, I don't blame you if it wasn't the podcast, Maisie. Actually, that's an idea, the running thing. We should get people to, we should raise some money for these things. We're going through an ordeal. People should donate to us for reading these books,
I think.
Raise some money for
the people who've had to read the books.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing. I'm reading all these books. That's just as hard as running.
Yeah.
Or they could just join our Patreon. That's also a thing they could do. Anyway, are you a big reader in general of football autobiographies, Maisie? I'm guessing
not. No, not of football autobiographies. And when I undertook this task for the podcast, I thought it'd be nice because usually I like to read fiction and a few sort of like, I don't know what the genre is, but kind of like John Ronson kind of stuff, that kind of thing. What's that
documentary
about? Basically
books.
Just like dissecting the psyche, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
This book dissected my psyche in a much more sinister way. In that I gradually lost the will to live.
Right. That sounds
so
about right.
It was nice to read something a bit different. It was nice to do it, but I won't be in a hurry to read a autobiography of a footballer anytime soon.
That's such a shame because just looking next to you, I've got Andy Gray's Grey Matters sitting on the desk. So you don't want me to send that in the post to you, Maisie?
I would really love to see what the other options were for these titles. Ray Matters. What else was on the table except for Jimmy? What else?
Yeah. Oh, for Hasselbank's one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't hassle the bank. That was a TV show.
He's got hassling all the way to the bank. Distinctive last name, and he went with Jimmy.
Yeah, that's true.
Which isn't even his name. As we will probably come on to in a minute, isn't even his name.
Well, that is a huge spoiler for 3 minutes time. But yes, yeah, that is true. Well, I'm glad that you have mentioned the world of football autobiographies, and we're going to see what you thought of the book. I'm going to be honest, I don't think you've got a particularly high opinion of it. I'm going to guess so far. But we're going to see what you thought of it as we make
our
way.
I've got basically the notes that his editor should have given him.
you should go back in time. Like, you need to save this book from ever being made.
I don't believe this book was proofread.
Right. I think you're onto something there. So let's go into it. Let's read Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's Jimmy, and a word of warning, there's a bit where Jimmy talks quite graphically about Dutch pornography. Cool. Right then, over the show, we're going to go into more depth about the book. We'll have another educational reading. We had the one those last time, that'd be fun. And a quiz at the end, and our friend Ken Zong is back with another chant. But first, you want to hear what Amazon's saying about the book?
Oh, yes, please.
God, go on.
All right, Tash, don't have to. I can cut it in the future.
No, do it. It has to be done.
The book has, I don't think you'd be surprised by this, 3.3 stars from 8
that
reviews.
That is so generous. That is 3.3 stars too many.
For Amazon, though, I would say that is extremely harsh. Yeah.
You've got to think about the type of people who are reviewing these books. They're reviewing their fans.
It's generally either like grandmas who've bought it for their grandsons for Christmas who say 5 stars because it came on time. Or super fans, that's it. So you do tend to get quite high.
So you have to wonder why someone bought
Or you get
this.
Trolls. You sometimes get trolls going on there. If it's like a rival club. That's true. That's why we got you in the podcast. That's how I found Tash. I was trawling through reviews. At the end of that.
Professional troll, Tash Frisco.
Yeah. It is a very confusing review I've got from general_dirtbag. That's generally what he was called in there. Entitled, "This Could Put a Glass Eye to Sleep." I don't know what that means. Which reads, "Wow, my friend at work gave me this book from our library we have. I can see why it was left on the shelf. Every page is like reading 5 live results, but in a very boring way. I'm amazed how much he remembers about scores. I imagine he looked them up. If you have insomnia, then for $9.99, you're cured." It's very confusing. Because first of all, does he own
That's
a library with his friend?
No, wait.
I agree. The review is bang on.
Where do they work? Do they work somewhere that has a library?
It does say it's from our library we have. It's very confusing. And
then
he says,
why
like,
did his friend get it for him? Why can't he go to the
library? If they own the library.
Yeah, he can get as many books he wants. He's got the perfect life. He says, I bet he looked up the scores. Like, you're allowed to do that. There's no cheating when you write your own autobiography. hasn't got me from memory.
But James, when you look up the scores to put into your autobiography, you should write them in a way that suggests some sort of personal connection to them. Rather than a sort of glossary level approach of just reciting. It was like a Wikipedia audiobook.
There are whole Wikipedia articles in here.
If you've done the research, you should put it in the book. That's the thing. There is no editing that should be done. Everything you've read for research in this book should go in. That's how book writing works.
I think in terms of SEO for Football Book Club, this book's going to do really well because when I Googled the book, there is nothing about it online apart from one article, which really confused me because it said, "Borders closed, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank sells for 69p. And I was like, what? Like, is this some sort of Brexit like thing? And then it turns out that in the South, there's a bookshop called Borders.
Yeah, Borders.
Yeah, well, Borders. I didn't know. So I was like, Borders closed, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank gets sold for 69p.
It's and a then really bad transfer deadline. Yeah.
and that's like the third result down when you Google the book. So we're obviously going to beat that.
But then, Tash, you're making a big assumption there that anyone's going to be Googling Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's book. if it continues to be the case that no one Googles it, no one's going to hear the podcast. And talking of confusing, did anyone else get confused by the back of the book, which says, "He's phenomenal. The Jewel is up there with the best. What does that mean? Was the book originally called The Jewel? Is Jimmy Floyd's nickname The Jewel? I've never heard
that. It is his nickname, yes.
Is it?
Because I was Googling it, but it ties into his real name, which...
doesn't mention that at any point
in
the book.
I know,
exactly.
There is a whole bit where he talks about how he's actually called Jarrell and then he got called Jimmy, and there's nowhere where it mentions that he's called The Jewel, and he could have put that in any of the 16 pages he devotes to explaining the scores season by season at each of the clubs he's played with.
I totally agree.
Because also he mentions the fact that he's not called Jimmy quite a few times, or that he's called Jarrell. You'd think at any point he'd just go, brackets, I'm also called The Jewel. Cool name. Anyway, moving on.
Yep,
baffling.
It's very confusing. Maisie, what did you think of the book then? Do you agree with General Dirtbag on the whole?
Yeah, absolutely. You General do. Dirtbag's got it pretty much summed up there. It's not a great read. It flicks between, I found, I don't know if you guys found this as well. First of all, he wrote this book when he was not yet like a retired footballer.
Which happens more than you think.
It happens in loads of things. It's like when somebody like Little Mix releases the greatest hits album. Why? You are still on the job. That is like me doing a greatest comedy specials of all time. I've done two shows. It's madness.
Yep.
It's so stupid. Anyway, so before we get to that, the tone of the book lies somewhere between just a rundown of Wikipedia statistics. Then at some points, he will cover a whole season in a paragraph and then spend three pages talking about what time he gets up and what time he goes to bed, depending on what country he's in. And that's so boring. But more than anything, it was like a less eventful book version of the film Memento. In that there's no sense of chronological order. So at
very
one
much
point,
so.
He'll be like telling you about when his girlfriend got pregnant with his now daughter. And then you're thinking, all right, great, he's become a dad. Then in the next episode, it's 6 years before that, and we don't yet know the daughter or even the girlfriend. Then we suddenly go to present day. Then hello, we're back, and we're at his daughter's fifth birthday party. It's absolute. It's so my brain is shattered.
Am I right, Maisie, in thinking that you read this on set somewhere?
I've been reading it a mixture of at home, which I've had to take to that because I need to be around calming atmospheres
of course.
I put it down because it stresses me out so much. But when I first started reading it, I was filming a League of Their Own road trip, so I perhaps fatally got it out in front of Jamie Redknapp. And he was like, these are his words, and I quote, what the hell are you reading that for? To which I said, oh, I'm doing it for this podcast. And then he went, is it any good? And I didn't want to cause yet another, because he's got a few beefs, as old Jimmy. I didn't think he'd have another added to his
life.
I thought, I'm not getting involved in this. So I just sort of gave that very middle of the road. I'm still in early days, Jamie. I mean, I say early days. I was in early days of the page wise. I was early days, but in his life, I'd gone through three different decades back to front.
And just to be clear, Jamie Redknapp was definitely asking, is the podcast, is the book good, not is the podcast good?
No, the podcast.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, no, when I said the podcast, he was like, oh, my God, great. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
My favourite.
Yes.
I think that's the first footballer sighting of us reading any of these books. Because we've read these books in a lot of strange places, but not once have we run into I think, Jack, you read Louis Saha's book at the Emirates, right?
Yeah, and has Spurs player on because he's wearing a Spurs top at the time.
that must have got some funny looks.
It was quite a bizarre one, really, because we were filming over a few days, and across those few days we met several other sports stars. So I was reading Jimmy's book, Then we met John Barnes because we were playing football at St George's Park, and John Barnes was there flogging his book. He was handing out, he was handing out copies like it was World Book Day.
Wow.
Yeah, unsolicited copies, just flinging them at you from across the room. Then Freddie, he got a call from his agent being like, "The book's, your book's finished." Freddie didn't know this. He was like, "Your book's done." So that was ready to go. So at one point, it was almost like a book club when we were sat around for lunch. I was reading Jimmy. Jamie was having a read through John Barnes's book that John had given him. And I think Freddie was reading his own book.
Okay.
Wow, this is really good. Wow,
yeah.
Great. Yeah.
That, I mean, to be honest, that's a podcast I probably listen to. You, Jamie Redknapp, and Freddie Flintoff sitting around reading that. That sounds great. Tash, Jack, what did you think of the book? Similar to Maisie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I mean, it's Wikipedia dumping. It feels like entire articles have just been like imported into this. It's remarkable. I mean, it's incredible.
I've read this in the last week in my old house, and it's really tainted my view of that house now.
You had to move out straight away.
I now see my life in two parts, like before this book and after it, because I'm a bit annoyed that it's here in my new house. It's like a Horcrux for me. I'm going to have to burn it when I go down.
The second we've done this. We don't encourage burning books in this podcast, but fair enough. If you want to do that, I feel this is the most negative start. So on the, you know, we've had some pretty negative starts of books, but it is a bad book. Let's not beat around the bush. It's a bad book.
What's frustrating about it is that it's not just that it's boring or that it's both short and very long. And it's sort of, it shouldn't be that hard to read, but it really is. Like every page, it's like your eyes just start to fall asleep. I had like a page next to while I was writing notes where it just says dull, dull, dull over and over again.
Yep.
like a person like losing their mind. Just
Did you keep getting that thing where suddenly you clock that your eyes have been moving across the words, but you haven't taken any? How long have I done this for? So then you have to read back to the last bit that you remember taking in. And sometimes it was pages I was having to go back.
But
pages
also,
of scores.
There's another problem with that because he repeats himself so much.
Yeah.
You could be like, oh, I know this bit. I remember this bit. And then you actually like start to read it and realize the wording is slightly different. And actually, that's something you read 10, 15 pages ago about Claudio Ranieri and how his training is bad. And you're like, you've told us that so many times.
He does say that a lot about Claudio Ranieri. One good thing, though, my book is signed. I finally got a signed book.
Oh!
No.
To Adam, my security escort, signed Jimmy. Anyone know anyone called Adam who works in the security game? Just in this book.
Quite rude. He didn't get a mention in the book if he's his security.
That is true. That's a very good point.
Wouldn't
that's,
you write a nice note as well? You wouldn't just write like
my also, security guard.
Apparently,
quite off-brand for Jimmy to call somebody in his close circle just by the first name, because it seems like everybody is Oswald Snip every time.
Oswald Snip. Yeah. Oh my god. I would like to talk about Oswald Snip for a year.
I was playing football with my close friend Oswald Snip. Oh, and then it was like, and my agent, Humphrey Nygaard. He's like, you've worked with him for 30 years. You could probably go on first name terms now, Jimmy. Given that you've named your book just your first name, but you're still double naming everybody else.
Which isn't even your own first name, Jimmy.
Not even your first name,
I mean, let's move on to that. So his name is Jor-El, as we said. And the reason he's called Jimmy, if I've got this right, he's at, I'm never going to pronounce this name, but Campo Maiorense or something like that. He plays for in Portugal. And they sign him, and they've got to keep his signing secret or something. So they go, from now on, you're called Jimmy, okay? I think he just has Jimmy on his back, and then he becomes Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank from there. It's bizarre. It's really, really strange.
It's never really explained.
He keeps it.
I looked it up on Wikipedia. This was the one thing that he didn't copy and paste from there. And it's quite well explained on there, but not in the bloody book.
Wow.
Well, what actually happened then? Because it's quite nonsensical.
Yeah, so he went to Campo, in 1995, and it almost got leaked to the press, and the guy said, yes, you heard right, you heard Jimmy. But he didn't hear right, it was Jor-El. And they published Jimmy, and then, so that's how it happened.
But why did Jimmy keep that name?
He said he preferred it to, he never really liked his first name.
That's so good. He just decided, because of someone mishearing his name, he was like, yeah, you know, yeah, what? That's my new name.
I can understand it, though, because Jarell was also the name of the stick with which he was beaten with by his aunt when he was a kid.
I remember that bit. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, there was this stick, and it's not uncommon to be beaten by your auntie where I grow up, but he was beaten so much more than any of his brothers and sisters that the stick was just called Jarell.
Wow.
So his auntie would be like, fetch me Jarell, and his brothers and sisters, rather than fetching Jarell Hasselbank, would fetch a large wooden spoon with which she would then whack actual Jarell with the stick that is mainly known as Jarell.
Did the stick have to change its name as well?
When you start going around the world and someone says, should we just call you Jimmy rather than Jarell? You go, what? That name's lost its meaning for me as well. I'm happy to let it go.
It's about time. Yeah. I think you're right on that. But his young life, we've touched upon it there a little bit. Tash, I know that you actually enjoyed that segment quite a bit.
Well, I did.
Not the him getting hit so much, but yeah.
No, not so much that bit. But I always know when a book's bad, because the bit that I hone in on is before they start playing football, because that's when they get even more boring. So, and it's also when I start making these like gigantic leaps to pop culture references. So, sadly for, you know, everyone who's waiting for me to compare it to Gone Girl, I won't. But my favourite thing that I found in this book was, I think Jimmy might be the source of Avril Lavigne's Skater Boy.
Wow, that is a comparison that blew my mind. I did not see that coming.
Right. Because
I think you could have said anything else. And I would have believed it. Please.
Because in his early life, he has this girlfriend, Leonie Van Vuren. Sounds like a great villain name, right?
The one whose dad doesn't approve of him.
And Jimmy is super into skateboarding. But what's she into? Ballet, horse riding. And Leonie dumps him because her dad doesn't approve. And then 2 years later, he gets signed to be a football player. And who comes crawling back?
Yeah. Leonie.
But she's too late. He's already with Avril by that point.
Yeah. Skater Boys rocking up MTV, Avril once said. Wow.
Yeah.
That is, you know, I did not expect that comparison to go as well as that. That
was it was pretty strong.
Now you said it, it's like, yeah, you're right, actually. He is Skater Boy.
He does indeed love every type of skating.
He loves skating.
Regular. Yeah.
He also loves dolphins.
He was a punk. She did ballet. What more can I say?
I wouldn't describe Jimmy Floyd Hasselman as a punk, I would say. I wouldn't describe his style as punk.
I quite like a lot of the way, I don't like it, but it's very interesting the way he, because you're right to bring up Leonie. He's one of the few women where he really talks about without sort of being a bit inappropriate, let's be honest. Yeah. With one of his first girlfriends, I don't know if it's that one. Maybe it is this one, actually. But very early on, he goes, you know how things go. We were already sleeping together. And it's like, have you ran it past her that maybe you're just 23 pages in, you're going, yeah, she was staying round. We weren't meant to be sleeping together, but we were. And then this kind of carries on as a lot of a running theme. A few pages later, he's on about the mother of his children, why they split up, and you think, oh, he's going to get really into the detail, and all we get was, you know how that goes, women aren't always easiest to deal with.
So Jimmy.
I think this is the bit of the book that really felt like someone at the pub just talking at you.
Yeah.
And you just wanted to sort of turn around.
The whole book is that for me.
Yeah.
If I may just highlight some other moments for you of this sort of beautiful language with which he appreciates people. This is when he's in Portugal. It was wonderful sitting on a sunny terrace when the weather was fantastic, having a nice cup of coffee, glancing at the girls. Of course, just peeking, spoiling my eyes, so to speak. I'm human after all, and the eye needs a bit of excitement from time to time. They never approached me because they were always together with their mates and their boyfriends. Of course, sometimes they would recognise me as Boa Vista's Jimmy, and I sometimes abuse that fame, but actually, not that often.
What a good guy. Not that often.
That's great. Nice. I think the worst one was the hotel receptionist. Do you remember that one?
I do. Awful.
This is Rocaparena, the where they go to train. This is when he's at Chelsea, and he says there was really nothing to do, no bars, nothing. There was this one young but not very attractive woman working at the hotel reception. But after 6 days, she started looking beautiful in our eyes.
Yes,
Another 3 days passed and the guys were thinking, wow, she's actually pretty hot. Whilst after 10 days, they were fighting over her and making moves on her. We ended up going there for 3 summers. Every time there was the same young girl, and every time the guy's eyes became bigger with time. That's lovely.
Romance.
That's still probably about the most romantic thing we've had in every book, though. At least he mentions his girlfriends and stuff. Like, we've had, I mean, I'm not saying in a good way, we've had plenty of books where they just kind of forget about their wives and then just crack on with other stuff.
They're just conduits to their firstborn sons in most of these books.
He might be incredibly disrespectful, but at least, God damn it, he mentions them. At least he doesn't erase them, at least. But no, you're right. He's a naughty boy.
It was a nice starter to Andy Gray's book that we're doing next, actually.
It's almost quite
teenage boy, sort of mentality of it. Even down to the fact where, do you remember at school when they used to be like, guys, you can always use a comma, that helps with a sentence structure. Rather than doing two short sentences, you can split one up with a comma. It's very like a teenage boy's written it, in that it'll be like, you know when it go, I am sad, today I have gone to the cinema, tomorrow I will go to the swimming pool. It was very like that. And then, especially then when it lent towards the sort of sexual sides of his thing. Like when he got a TV in his room as a kid finally, and he not very subtly alludes to the fact that that meant he could watch porn.
that's a big moment for him.
We do generally find though that when we read these books, they are sort of stuck age 15-16. Footballers do stay in a real arrested development.
It's so weird.
Who was the one who had the Cocoa Pops bars? Who went to the cinema?
Wayne Rooney, that was it.
He's Cocoa Pops bars. They are children.
You can try and be maybe a little bit more subtle and have a bit of guessing work, Jimmy. But this isn't subtle. I got my own room when the others left the house. By then, we could afford to have a separate TV in my bedroom. You can imagine what I watched on TV and what else happened in that room afterwards. We get it. You had a wank, Jimmy. That's what you've
done. Honestly, Maisie, I think, given the rest of this book, I'm surprised you didn't say, I watched porn and I had a wank. It was lovely. Yeah.
That would have been a better title for this book. Hasselbank had a wank. That would have been way
Jimmy
better.
Floyd had a wank.
Jimmy Floyd had a wank.
Maisie, do you remember Jimmy at Leeds particularly well?
Not particularly well. I was born in 94, so his sort of glory years were very brief, and of course I was very young. So my experience of Jimmy Floyd as a Leeds player is mainly listening to family members tut when his name is mentioned. And he kind of touches on that, which I do think was one of the few interesting bits of the book, was sort of to hear his side of why there's those feelings between him and Leeds United. Mm. And it turns out the guy had a point, actually. I mean, everyone in my family, when Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank comes up, he's like, oh, he left because of money. And then in the book, you read it, Jimmy's side of it, and he's like, yeah, because Peter Ridsdale was being stupid with money. And of course, now we know that was exactly the case. So of all the bad things I'm saying about Jimmy and his book here, I will at least concede that perhaps upon reflection, fair enough. You jumped ship of something that was sinking very, very fast.
But you must have enjoyed some of the things with some of the, you know, other people who are still Leeds legends, like Gary Kelly. His description of him, I think, and how I think, doesn't Gary Kay try and attack him with some deep heat at some point?
Yeah, puts deep heat in his pants.
That's it, yeah.
But again, you're reading this going, oh my God, and what happened? And what happened? And he goes, so I took it out and we had a laugh about it. And that's That's often it. A lot of paragraphs start with things like, I remember one time, and then it will just end with, and we had a laugh, and we moved on. That's not an anecdote.
It's so close to one, though.
It's true, but it is fun reading his descriptions of, I think he calls Gary Kay that strange Irishman. It's what he refers to throughout that in the thing. He says, we had several more strange guys in our team. David Weatherall, in fact, really did not fit in our squad. He was the perfect gentleman, a high society guy who spoke the Queen's English. Then there's Alfie Gahal, and he talks about Gunnar Hall, was the sweetest player in our group. Jonathan Woodgate, I think he calls incredibly dim at some point. He's not the smartest cookie in the crowd. That's what he said.
That's my favourite line. Not the smartest cookie in the crowd.
One thing that did annoy me about his time when he was talking about Leeds is that he said, he's like, oh, I loved my time living there. I spent my first few weeks in this lovely hotel, and then I moved to a lovely big house in Chadwell. It's Shadwell with an S. There is nowhere called Chadwell in Leeds. Chadwell is in East London.
Okay? Oh, wow.
Chadwell Heath. He's talking about Shadwell, where all the footballers tend to live when they come and play for Leeds United.
You were there two years.
Proofread your book, Jimmy. Google Maps where you lived for 2 years.
Maisie, and I don't want to cast any assumptions about this, but I'm guessing in Shadwell, there's less women walking around in bikinis walking to a beach, I'm assuming. So maybe that's why Jimmy didn't remember the name of it. Maybe that's the only thing that he can kind of attach things.
Maybe.
I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying it's a very bad thing. But
But also, you haven't been in Leeds on a Saturday night out. That's pretty much close to that happening.
Yeah, that's true. It's the Boa Vista of Northern England.
Of Yorkshire.
I forgot that when he's talking about the hotel, he said, it's a great hotel. It's such a great hotel. It's brilliant. Apart from the main room, I had a small storage room to store my belongings. It was great. Nothing else.
Yeah.
A cupboard. Great. Thanks, Jimmy. It is. I think that there are so many bits of this book, and Maisie's right, where you're just like, you're just so close to this being interesting. Like, he's 3 years old and he gets hit by a car that nearly stops him from playing football forever. Mm. And at one point, he maybe nearly gets his leg amputated.
Yeah.
But
and that hardly gets touched on.
It's almost impressive how boring he makes both of those things.
But, like, there'll be something that he'll just mention and not think that's worthy of going in any further. Like, when he's talking about his lack of discipline in the early starts of his career, he'd say, oh, I was always turning up, you know, with different excuses. There was always something wrong with me. One day I wouldn't go to training. The next day I didn't show up because of diarrhoea.
And then We just have to move on from that.
That's not mentioned at all. but then there'll be other bits where you go, why are you still elaborating on this? It's so dull. Such as when he's talking about what goes through his mind when he's sort of trying to have faith in himself as a forward that he'll get his chance to score a goal. This is it, ready? Scoring is largely a matter of focus. I keep calm by telling myself things like, stay calm. It's coming. That chance will certainly come. Remain concentrated. Keep on waiting. Why did we need four examples?
Synonyms for stay calm, Google. Just amazing.
Talking of strange quotes, has anyone got an out of context Jimmy for this week? Anyone got a line in particular?
I found it really hard to find one because everything that he says is just mildly inappropriate.
The whole book is out of context, Jimmy. I do know what you mean. I know what you mean. Anyone want to kick us off? If anyone's got one?
Completely out of context, yes?
Yeah, please.
Who knows? Johan Cruyff might soon explain to everyone the right way to make love to a woman. You know what I'm saying?
It's a good one.
This is very... You've basically written down the three that I was going to use, so this is incredible. But they're all brilliant. I have one.
Yep.
I just think it's a great number, and I would happily get a tattoo with the number 9.
That is a segment where he talks a lot about the number 9 and the importance.
It's a whole
page
of why he likes the number 9.
And I like places called 36 because 3 and 6 adds up to 9. Oh, it's a 9.
I'm also happy with multiples of 9. For example, the number 63.
I used to live in a number 6, which, of course, is an upside down 9. actual line in this book.
It is. Tash?
We went to Funky Buddha, a club popular among celebrities and footballers, but they just let me walk in, obviously.
Yeah. Classic Jimmy. Just walk in. Mine's a tiny bit longer, but I think it's my favourite ever ending to a chapter. That's one of the context I'm going to give, a little bit of context. I go for about 2 to 3 months to Dubai every year. It's a great place for snorkeling and diving, but I haven't done that yet. First, I must conquer my fear. I'm afraid that I'll encounter a big fish, such as a shark or something, and start panicking. I should go with someone who isn't scared. If I have another girlfriend, I will go diving with her, and then try to conquer my fear. It's not my world, but I would like to explore under the sea.
What planet is it from? It's just waiting on another girlfriend to help me conquer my fear of the sharks of Dubai.
And then what's amazing is it's like chapter 7. I had a good time in Atlético Madrid. What the? Yeah, can we unpack that, please?
Man, I'll move back after the break with more Jimmy, including Chelsea, Holland, and Jimmy explains the difference between Brits and the Dutch.
Oh, God.
Yeah, get excited. Hi, we're Football Book Club Podcast, and we need your support. Now, let's drop the appeal music. Hi, everyone. James here, and I just want to tell you about the brand new Football Book Club Club, which you can join to receive bonus weekly episodes, access to exclusive member events, and your very own Football Book Club bookmark, all for the same price as a used copy of Darren Huckabee's 2007 book, Hux. So if you enjoy the podcast and need to hear more afterwards, head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. Enjoy the episode.
Do you need more sketch comedy in your life?
This is a flesh-eating bacteria I stole from work.
Well, you stole that from the lab, did you, mate?
Yeah.
Then you need Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. With me, Tom Crowley.
When did you lose your virginity?
2nd of October 1993 on a pool table.
Each episode features brand new sketches, characters, and songs.
No time to die and no love to lose. That's the life I choose.
As well as returning regular features.
These are the diaries of Link Tangent, space cartographer.
I'm Sir Chantley Buffingham.
Hello, my name is Wingnut.
All written, performed, and produced by me, Tom Crowley.
He may look frightening, but he's innocent. He knows not what he does.
Over 8 hours of original sketch comedy. Available now on all good podcast apps and at CrowleyTime.com.
Have you ever had constipation? No, it can be a bit like that.
That's Crowley Time with me, Tom Crowley. Subscribe today.
Crowley Time!
Welcome back to Football Book Club, where we are reading Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's Jimmy with Maisie Adam. You changed your mind on the book at all yet, Maisie? You got more
absolutely
angry with it?
Absolutely not. It's like revisiting trauma in therapy.
Well, we touched on it just before the break. We touched upon how Jimmy has these very strange asides and very strange choices for what he wants to dwell on a lot in the book. The snorkeling bit was good. There's another little bit I wanted to mention, which was on page 65. It's when he's gone to Boa Vista. He's talking about how he has to sit around in the hotel a lot. He says, actually, it's not a hardship for me as I love staying at home. In Portugal, I rented a lot of videos, but nowadays I watch the latest blockbusters on DVD. Sometimes I had access to movies that had just been released in the cinema. For example, I'd already seen Hostage, starring Bruce Willis, before it was released in England.
What I was going to say, this actually makes a lot of sense. When Maisie was talking about him being a 14-year-old boy, a 14-year-old boy, that would have been one of the most exciting things you could possibly tell.
I got to watch
anyone.
Hostage before it came. Why did he really wants us to know that he saw Hostage before anyone in the UK saw Hostage? A film I barely remember.
Because I think that when that happens to you, you're just filled with a sense of, like, joy. Like,
yes.
I saw Anchorman slightly before anyone in England, and I was like, excuse me, guys, you guys are going to really enjoy this little comedy film coming out soon. Not sure when it comes out, but I've already seen it.
But the difference is, Anchorman was a good film. Hostage, no one cares if you saw Hostage before. That's
yeah, but it's the same. It's the same energy as being the guy who's like, obviously they let me into Funky Buddha. It is that 14-year-old.
That is true. That is true.
It's the idea. Also, again, just a terribly dull anecdote. Can you imagine if you got like into an elevator with one of the best scoring footballers of the and you go, go on, tell us something, and he said, In Portugal, I rented a lot of videos, but nowadays I watch the latest blockbusters on DVD. You wouldn't think you're in an elevator with a world-class footballer. You'd think you're in an elevator with Alan Partridge.
I would start pressing the door open button very, very quickly, over and over again.
In fact, I am sometimes of the opinion that this... Because, I'll be honest, one of my biggest... preconceptions about this book was, oh, has he got a ghostwriter? And it very quickly becomes apparent that he doesn't, and perhaps that would have benefited him. But sometimes you're like, oh, he could have had a ghostwriter, and in that bit you're thinking Alan Partridge, and then in other bits, there's one bit where I thought it was so reminiscent of, do you guys remember this, when Chris Moyles, in his sort of ending days of Radio 1, went on a rant about his pay, uninterrupted for half an hour and he didn't play a record. At one point, he's just telling you about the financials of... And it's such Chris Moyles energy. He just goes, in England and Holland, your salary is automatically transferred to your bank account, but in Portugal, I was paid by cheque. Every 29th day of the month, I picked up my salary. In total, I went to the bank 10 times. Since I was paid for 10 months, not 12, you could say I had 2 months of unpaid holiday. Nor did I get a 13th month pay for not for holiday money, which is common in Holland. In Spain, I got paid relatively little every month, but three times per season, we received an extra big amount as a bonus. This is so boring.
Yeah, I'm clawing at the walls of the elevator at this point. I'm desperate. Like, just someone let me out of this elevator.
What? It's, like, he's literally reciting his P45.
That's true.
It's also the fact that he says a lot of the time about his financials, he's like, I don't care. I don't care how much I earn. I don't care. But we got paid on this date. And
there's also another bit further in where he's like, oh, I don't like to discuss financials and I don't want to say, but... I have seen some reports around saying that I get paid around £20,000 a week, and those wouldn't be too inaccurate. Like, well, you've just told us, haven't you? Yeah. You've just told us how much you're on a week.
Do we think those bits are more boring than when he just writes the Wikipedia article for the history of Middlesbrough FC? Later on, which happens a lot throughout. But I think every time he goes to a club, he writes their history or who their greatest goal scorer is. Oh, man.
100%.
But anyway,
that's a really lazy bit of him doing that bit. It's incredibly lazy.
But it's also a really odd
way of introducing your time. Because he starts often at, like, the birth of the club, which is often in, like, the late 1800s.
Yeah, way before he started.
So he's starting to tell you about his time at a club, but he begins with the Industrial Revolution era.
Let me tell you the story.
Absolutely. That's like you going, Maisie, tell us about your first gig and going, well, comedy dates back to the music hall era. There was vaudevillian stars and jesters for the kings and queens of England. Soon I'll get to my gig of comedy bucket in Gigglesworth, Northampton. But first...
Very accurate. And in terms of these streams of consciousness, I would say they probably are, I've got an educational reading for you this week. We have one from Michael Owen. Are you excited?
Oh, great.
All right, Jack. You might learn something from this, Jack. It's an educational reading. Not a dramatic reading like we sometimes do. It's an educational reading.
You can't do a dramatic reading out of this book. So I'm
it's impossible. There's no drama, no tension. Yeah.
Like I say, he nearly lost his leg. Yeah. That would be a good story.
No, there is nothing. So we've got an educational reading, and this educational reading is called Jimmy Explains the Difference Between the Dutch and the English.
Oh, this is so bad.
I think that the Dutch people are regarded in England as being very open. We are a very direct bunch of people who know where they want to go. The British also know what they want, but they are much less open about it. I find British courtesy superficial. The British appear very open-minded, but then they get very uptight when it comes to sex. Straight in with sex. Very, very, very quick into that. In England, you don't often see naked women on television, even in a soft porn movie. you actually don't see very much. Should you want to, in Holland, you can often see people having sex on television if you stay up late enough. It's very normal there. I think the British employ double standards. For example, in Holland, you will not find any newspaper showing a naked girl on page 3. I think the Dutch type of openness is better. The number of teenage pregnancies. Sorry.
He likes his naked women moving. That's what he likes.
But then to go from just explaining about soft porn to then tackling teenage pregnancy.
This has come after a couple of pages ago when he was talking about the history of Boa Vista.
Yeah, it is.
What is happening? Where am I? Why am I talking about Dutch softcore porn?
When I was about like 10, my view of Dutch people was shaped by Eurotrash, and
yes,
he's just solidified everything that
I agree. Weirdly, when he was talking about being in his room watching TV too late, Eurotrash was the first thing I thought of. That is exactly what I was like. That's the kind of thing that a British teenager would go sneak off and do that. Anyway, number of teenage pregnancies is much higher in England than it is in the Netherlands. Perhaps that's because it's extremely rare for people to talk about sex openly here. But behind closed doors, the British are more naughty than we Dutchmen. In England, people also need to be pleased more. If you ask someone, can you do this? They will reply with a curt, what? Only if you add please will they do what you asked. Of course it is courtesy. I find it good when a child speaks like that, but when adults start fussing about, it's much too much for my taste. Another thing I noticed when I arrived here was that people eat chips with vinegar.
Right turnaround there.
Yeah. It really is. So he's
cured teenage pregnancy with a softcore porn.
Yep.
That's the thing he's done.
He's gone in 10 lines. He's gone porn, pregnancy, childhood manners... chips with vinegar.
Let's see if he can solve
lines.
It.
It's a manifesto, really, isn't it?
This is. I mean, I think we all agree this is the best part of the book, right? This is the best. This is the best page. By a mile. It's disgusting. I can't understand how people can lick their lips about that. The way I learned to eat chips dipped in mayonnaise and ketchup, on the other hand, seems to be unheard of here. I love Yorkshire puddings, on the other hand. Sometimes I have dinner over at the house of my friend Kareem Amroosh. His wife, Leslie, will almost always cook me a wonderful dinner. They're really down-to-earth people who will tell me, come on, Jimmy, get normal whenever I go too far.
Get normal.
Come on, Jimmy.
Stop talking about porn at the dinner table, Jimmy.
Eat your Yorkshire pudding.
So either Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank has a bizarre stream of consciousness, or he does have a ghostwriter who just asked him a series of shotgun questions. Okay, what do you think about teenage pregnancy? Okay, what do you think about porn? What do you think about chips?
And there we go. That was this week's educational reading. I think we learned a lot about the differences. I think broadly, overall, he's right. I think he's got everything right there.
There's a correlation between our love of chips and vinegar and our teenage pregnancy, right?
I think he's bang on, and I think everyone else has been too afraid to say it, and Jimmy has finally
that
come
page
out.
That page was like sex education in a Catholic school.
Yeah, it's very true.
You will get pregnant and die.
Don't watch porn. Because then that's
don't
what
eat vinegar.
You've got pregnancy. Yeah.
Oh God, I've had chips with vinegar. I'm going to get pregnant.
Jack, let's move on to Chelsea. You know, probably the time. Sorry to say it, Maisie. It's probably the time most listeners to the podcast will probably associate Jimmy with his time at Chelsea. You know, he's there. He was there. It's probably his most stable period at Chelsea. He was there for quite a while, and you think that the book will be more stable because of it in some ways. But Jack, is that true?
No, I think it gets more unhinged. It really, it starts to... I think what's difficult about this book, as we're saying, is that there's no sense of time and scale. And I didn't realise how long he was in Holland before he went to Portugal, or how long he went from Portugal to Leeds, and then went to Atletico, and then came back. And then him being at Chelsea, I was like, well, I know what happened here. Ranieri was there, and it went wrong. And then Mourinho came, and then Hasselbank left. I understand those facts. I can cling on to those facts.
Yeah,
but... if anything, I just sort of left it feeling more confused about what I thought I knew. There are so many bits that just don't make any sense. I mean, I'm going to read an entire paragraph. On 8 September 2001, we played at home against Arsenal. Again, it finished 1-1. I scored our goal, but was then sent off. My red card was later overturned by the FA. 1 week later, on 16 September, we played at White Hart Lane, where we beat Spurs 3-2, and Frank Lampard was sent off. In that same week, Lampard, Jody Morris, Ijeka Johnson, and John Terry were fined 2 weeks' wages for going on a drunken rampage in a Heathrow hotel bar packed with grieving Americans just a few hours after the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
Jesus.
I was pleased that new players had joined the squad. What?!
You touched upon something that I forgot about in the book until I reread it. I love how much he throws players under the bus as well. He doesn't let anyone forget anything. Mario Melchior is like his best mate at one point. He says, like, "Oh, he should have tackled that guy though in the FA Cup final, wherever it was."
It's the Champions League. Who remembers these things? It's bizarre.
There's a bit where he lists everyone who's ever committed an offence in the game. Like he goes, Adrian Mutu. He took cocaine.
George Graham got done
But again, with no like actual anecdote behind it.
Yeah.
He's more just going like Adrian Mutu was right. You know, he should have been punished. Other people I know have taken cocaine are the following. Then nothing else.
Oswald Snip.
Oswald Snip doesn't really get a look in after the first half of the book.
My theory about Oswald Snip.
Why is he dropping 9/11 in? Why?
I don't know. Mm. And why then suddenly veer wildly back to like talking about team chemistry?
Yeah, yeah.
It makes the whole book like quite upsetting to read in a way, because every line could be, there could be a terrorist attack at the end of the line. It's
and
how
then,
you
and
feel
then
about
you know
it.
That he'd then just be like, you know, oh, and 7,000 people lost their lives. What was great about the training sessions at Chelsea? It's very odd.
It's very, there's also, do you guys remember Sassy?
Oh, I did not know about this at all.
The bullying of Sassy.
Who was Sassy?
Oh, this is the fitness trainer.
Yeah.
I've got it here. This is just listen. That was to very this mean. Is like absolutely horrible. Ranieri often followed the advice of his fitness trainer, Roberto Sassi. After a while, Sassi came to be hated by all the players because he was the one who made us practice so hard. Can you imagine a fitness trainer making footballers practice hard?
How dare you? Don't you know who Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank is?
He gets let into the... He then says, it was abnormal. We often complained to him, but he always thought that our attacks were just personal, which was not the case at all. Sassi was an Italian who had somehow become more important than the manager. He says it wasn't personal and then just goes on to attack the fact he's Italian. The players weren't very happy about this, so we started giving him a hard time. He was really bullied by us. Sometimes we would hit or kick him. If there was snow, we would smear it all over him or throw compacted snowballs at him. If there was a big puddle of water, you'd be sure that old Roberto would be thrown in there.
What's weird about this is that it's not even like, oh, I guess I did. We did bully him a little. It's like, yeah, we bullied him.
Yeah, we did.
And destroyed his life. Extremely an extremely brutal description of exactly what we did.
Horrible. At one stage, it got so bad that he practically begged to be left alone. This happened after he demonstrated a new training idea of his in which he played the part of the ball. Now, not to victim blame, but if you're being bullied and you're a fitness trainer, I wouldn't suggest that you go up to these group of people and go, I'll be the ball, okay? Sassy had all the players stand in their respective positions while he walked from one side of the pitch to the other. As a player, you had to follow the ball. You can so see where this is going. Yeah. Sassy, absolutely, left himself open.
But you're just screaming at the book, like, just go, just run away, Sassy.
Yes.
Kick yourself into touch.
We all got tired of it and said, and now it's time to score. Then we ran up to Sassy, picked him up, and threw him into the goal.
Yeah. Horrible.
It's horrible.
Yeah. I didn't think I'd grow to dislike Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank as much from this book.
No, They chased after him to the snow, and he's just sort of mentioning that like it's really harmless, and then just says, however, in the tackle by Mario Melchior, to stop him escaping, he broke a rib.
Oh, yeah.
They broke his fitness trainer's rib.
And then they're like, oh, we were that was serious. We were like, oh my God, we should stop doing this. Until he recovered when we did it again.
Right, the other 15.
Yeah. You know how sometimes when this comes out and we're like tagging the footballers and stuff? I don't know. We should do that with Jimmy.
I'm not sure.
I value my ribs. So maybe we shouldn't do that. I thought the Ranieri stuff was interesting, actually, because we just read, so Maisie, we just read Jamie Vardy's book. And Vardy, he loves Ranieri. Absolutely loves him. And then,
did you notice the nickname which Ranieri clearly took from Dennis Wise? So in Vardy's book, he says that Ranieri said, hey man, you're always being such a radio. Stop being such a radio, you radio wanker. That's an actual line from the book. Because he talks so much. And Jamie Vardy's like, oh, that's such a great name. Thank you for that. In this book, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank says that Dennis Wise called Gustavo Poyet the radio because he wouldn't stop talking.
Oh, I missed that.
That must have been where Ranieri got the name.
There we go. That's nice.
This feels like genuinely a movie like National Treasure, where we're just picking apart clues from the whole all of these books to work out some greater meaning.
That's quite a reflection of this book, that one of the most interesting things you would only realise if you'd read somebody else's book.
And therefore corroborate. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with the podcast, really. I think I would say, standing alone, these episodes aren't interesting, but only when you get to about 40 episodes, you go, okay, now I'm starting to get something a little
like, oh yeah, you got to listen for 40 episodes. And then the first 40 are unbearable, but then it just like a switch goes off.
Maisie, I think now that you've read Jimmy's book, I think you're going to really get into football books. I'm going to send you some. I think once you read 5 or 6, you're going to be hooked. Jamie Redknapp, John Barnes sat around reading Jermaine Pennant's book.
The most interesting thing in this book is that Atletico Madrid has a gynecology department for the football wives.
And he's really interested by that.
Like talking about his first day at Atletico Madrid, and we've been like, "Oh, the facilities were amazing. They even had a dentist, and that you could drive into the car park underneath the ground. There's even a gynecologist for the players' wives. What have they done to their wives that you need an on-site gynecologist? What fresh hell?"
I
like them mentioning the dentist and being like, oh, but he's not always there. You have to book an appointment.
You just live in the car park.
Just go, oh, yeah, thanks for letting us know, because we're always wanting to book in with the dentist at Atletico Madrid.
We'd get to Madrid and be like, well, I know there's a dentist at Atletico's ground, but I'm not sure he's always there. What does Jimmy say? He's not always there.
Jimmy told me to book.
Well, the book ends around then. After Chelsea, I think he goes to Middlesbrough very briefly at the end of the book.
Which is very odd as well. He sort of ends by going like, three good players that are going to be really good coming up. Stuart Downing, James Morrison, and some other guy. Anyway, bye.
I think the last thing, last line is like, I think I wouldn't mind being a manager. Okay, all right. I think that's literally the last thing he says. Like, oh yeah, maybe I'll be a manager. That's it. And of course, he did become a manager, which is fairly interesting, but it's not an interesting book. Oh, and he gets stressed about his house renovations, like Gary Neville.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed.
Yes.
Yeah, which was which was interesting. Yeah. But the big question: did this book change you, Maisie Adam? Did it change you? It can be for the better or for the worse.
Yeah, it's changed me definitely. Definitely.
Has it aged you?
Yeah, it's aged me.
Okay.
I used to be the only person in my family that couldn't understand why everybody tutted when they heard Jimmy's name. I might not be tutting for the same reasons, because I understand them now, but I still will tut at Jimmy's name because of this monstrosity that I've had to read.
At least you've got a present now for Christmas. You can get some of your family members.
I'm not keeping this.
What are you going to do with it?
God. Bring it round to mine and we'll burn them together.
Yeah, that's quite... We'll put it on our socials. Let's do that.
We're in a pandemic. We don't know what's going to be. If there's a loo roll shortage again.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
Very good, too. I might get rid of my book, but I'm going to snip out to Adam my security escort. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep that page and just change that to James.
I do feel like it's worth just mentioning, because Jack liked to bring up the... not so subtle clangs of his wealth. And there is one just as he gets towards the end of the book, which again, it's segued from drugs in football to... this is just after he's listing what should have happened to Adrian Matu. He then goes, I also read in the papers that some of the players have started acting like pop stars. However, I never knew they were also writing about my earrings. I've had these earrings for 2 years now. Apparently, there was an article in some magazine or newspaper saying I bought them for £6,000. There are diamonds inside, so they are expensive, but they didn't cost me £6,000, at which point you're thinking, oh, it's less. Oh, God, no. They actually cost me £7,500 each. Each, meaning I have £15,000 worth of jewellery hanging from my ears. I don't care if people know how expensive they are, but I do want to show them that they are something beautiful. That's nice.
God. Just let me out of this elevator.
But in fairness, I am glad he mentioned the ear, because I always think of him as always having very shiny ear studs. I've always thought that.
When you very kindly sent me this book in the post and I unwrapped it, I thought a lot of things, but what I did not think was, good God, that's 15 grand's worth on his face there. It's It's one of the cheapest covers and uninspiring covers I've seen in a long, long time. I'll be honest, I've been reading this on the train to gigs some places, and I've been taking off the cover so people can't see what I'm reading.
That is, I'm glad that already you've stumbled upon what we do with them. Yeah, great.
People
looks like the Bible now.
I've been reading the Bible on Southern
Rail. Yeah, exactly.
That's better. That's honestly better at this point.
Much better. Don't you think the cover? Do you remember the Greatest Hits album by George Michael, Ladies and Gentlemen? The front cover really makes me think of that. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink in a suit. Sitting there, and he's got that goatee that George Michael had around that time.
It's got a nice watch on. I'm surprised he didn't mention that.
That's true. It's probably in Jimmy 2, the next book.
It's not good.
Maze will be coming on to read soon. what are we giving it out of 10, everybody?
Oh God,
Maisie, I know what you're going to say, so I'm going to save you to the end. That's all right. Jack, how about you? What are you giving it out of 10?
4. I can't believe I'm giving it a 4.
You think that's weak? You don't have to.
I think it's nice that I've given him a 4, but I can't back out now.
Okay, fine. You can.
Nope.
Okay, cool. No. Tash, what are you saying?
I'm going to give it a 3 because it did help me sleep a couple of times.
Okay, sure. I 3 was what I was veering towards because I enjoyed the use of the word dolphinarium. So sue me. I liked it. I hadn't heard the word dolphinarium ever, and he used to go there when he was a kid, so that was nice. Anyway, and Maisie, what are you giving the book out of 10?
I'll give it 2, 1 for each year he played at Leeds, or 1 for each expensive earring.
Beautiful. And that gives it 12 in total, which is 3. Oh, that's one of the worst ever.
Good.
That is one of the worst ever. That is.
But it feels good, doesn't it? Feel good.
It does feel quite. It's 1.25 less than Michael Owen's soccer skills.
I feel vindicated. I do feel a bit vindicated because I did have the fear that James, you were going to turn around and say that you loved it.
Me? Yeah.
James's taste in football books is way out of line sometimes.
Is it?
Think this one was so bad it could unite everybody.
Sure. I was worried you were going to say that I liked it because of all the sexism. It was like, James usually really goes for sexism.
He has this theory about softcore porn and teen pregnancies, okay? Finally, someone's speaking my language.
There we go. We've done it. Probably won the. I think it did a bit better than Jermaine Pennant's book, but not by much.
Jermaine Pennant's book is
it's up there. It's up there with the Pennants of the world. Anyway, for the quiz this week, you're all named after cast members in the 2005 film Hostage. So Jack, you're Bruce Willis as police chief Jeff Talley. You can't say that. Maisie, you're Rumour Willis as Amanda Talley. Rumour, Bruce
God,
in
was
that
it
film.
A- Yeah, was it a nepotism gig?
Father daughter. It was a nepotism gig. And there's no one else famous in that film. So Tash, you're Jimmy Pinchak as Sean Mack. So there we go. That is who you are. There was someone called Ben Foster in that, but I thought that'd be confusing because, you know, the keeper. Anyway, shout out your full name if you think you know the answer. If you can remember your full name, just say yes. If you want. Question number 1. Which Dutch legend does Jimmy describe as he would chatter like an old lady and never shut up? I don't mean it in an unkind way, but he is stubborn. Which Dutch footballing legend is he referring to?
Bruce Willis's police chief, Jimmy,
Jeff,
shotgun,
Jeff
McGee.
Talley. Jeff Talley,
that's
close
it.
Close enough, yep.
Is it Gus Hiddink?
Nope. It is a player. It's a fellow player with him.
It's not Ruud van Nistelrooy, is it?
Excuse me, what was that?
Was that Rumour Willis? Rumour Willis, yep. Is it Ruud van Nistelrooy?
We've got to have rules.
God forbid we make this any less tedious.
I am at the end of my tether, I swear to God.
Jimmy Pinchak, have you got an answer? Any idea?
No. Oh, who's the one who's his fairy godmother? Is it him?
Is Jan Harry Goldmother?
He has one, that guy who gives him loads of
Jan
freebies.
De Jong.
Jan De Jong, is it him?
It isn't Jan De Jong. It is Clarence Seedorf. Clarence Seedorf is the answer. He's a stubborn old lady. who wrote the first record that Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink ever bought?
Rumour Willis. Womack and Womack.
Very good. A point to Rumour Willis. Okay, number 3. It's a little bit of a language test here. What does God Vodbod Ook mean in English?
Bruce Willis as Dr. Jimmy Talley.
He's just in ahead of you, Rumour.
Even God plays football?
Yes, God plays football too. I'll give you that. Okay. Yeah, very good. It's the alternative name for his local club, GVO, when he was young. I was saying, there you go. You learn something.
That's cute. That was cute. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. What did Atletico fans do in the last home game of the season when they were relegated?
Bruce Willis.
Oh, Rima Willis, the daughter. They threw eggs on the pitch, and Jimmy was worried that it would cut his legs.
That was so odd. It was like, it was funny, but we were worried we would get horribly injured by these eggs.
I don't remember him worried he was going to cut his leg. That's funny. That's really funny.
Yeah, he thought the shells would cut his legs open.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah.
Which is rich for somebody who broke someone's rib.
Yeah, true. Very true. Name any of the three best defenders Jimmy has played against.
Oh, God.
Bruce Willis. John Terry.
No.
Don't think John Terry. He does mention
he was good. Rio Ferdinand is one. Jack.
Always Rio Ferdinand. He always comes
sorry,
up.
Sorry, Bruce. Yep. Anyone else? Got any others?
No, give me 2 minutes.
Oh,
please.
Keon?
2 minutes. Okay.
Don't give me 2 minutes.
What was that?
Keon?
Nope.
Ah.
Okay.
Who was it?
5 sec. Okay, I'll give you clues. One did play with him at Chelsea. France, 98 World Cup winner. Is correct. And third one was, how can I give a big clue? He loves waistcoats.
Gareth Southgate.
Okay. Yes. Maisie Adam has got it. And finally, Jack touched upon this earlier. What player does Jimmy tip above Stuart Downing and James Morrison to be the next star of the future at Borough?
Right at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Is it? It's not Bruce Willis.
This, oh, by the way, you and Maisie are tying. So whoever gets this out of you wins it.
Oh God, this is so tense. This is like Mario Melchior's about to come in and break my legs. Tony McMahon
is correct. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm sorry, Rumor. It's Tony. Tony McMahon, and yeah, that means Bruce Willis wins the quiz this week. Very impressive, though. Very impressive, Maisie. I can tell you really. That was more exciting.
You've really wasted a lot of time remembering a lot from this book.
Jeez.
You really have.
I've now helpfully mastered the art of like reading it, and it just passes out the other
end. Yeah. I'm telling you, I bet Jamie Redknapp wasn't paying this much attention to John Barnes' book, Maisie. I think you've paid, and thank you for doing so. As a reward, Jack, you get our Ken Zong this week. So, Maisie, Ken Zong is a guy who comes on our show every week, and he writes football chants about footballers who have long since retired. So recently we had the chant, Ooh Ah Steve Agrizovic, to the tune of Ooh Ah Just a Little Bit, which is a good one. We had Oh Jeff Kenner to Ultravox's Vienna. This week to
Very
the tune
good.
Of... Thank you. This week, well, thanks to Ken. This week to the tune of Work It by Missy Elliott. Oh, bit of a different kind of music to Ken. Watch him work it. Bojan Krkic brings the ball down, flicks it and converts it. That is a...
Have you done that?
He didn't go into that. I don't know how he could fit something into that, but no. Watch him work it. Bojan Krkic brings the ball down, flicks it and converts it. There we go. That's all I got via WhatsApp this week. There we go.
Well done, Ken.
Great guy. That is all for this week. But if you need more, we'll be chatting for 20 minutes more over on our Patreon with that episode out on Monday. To listen, please do join the Football Book Club for all our bonus episodes. And to get your hands on a Football Book Club bookmark, head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. We'll be back in a fortnight with our Christmas special. Yes, it's Christmas time already. Can you believe it?
We're so deflated.
This is a very low energy ending to the episode. I'm sorry.
I need Christmas after this. If you'd have asked me to read this in January, it would have been really bleak.
A tough year ahead.
But, imagine if we did this in lockdown.
Do you want to imagine that?
No idea.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, 40
Do
books,
you know what's
maybe.
Actually really sad is I got gifted, this is a humble brag, by Leeds United, a shirt. And you know what they gave me? They gave me Patrick Bamford's number 9. And now that is all I'm associated with is, Jimmy would like this because he's obsessed with the number 9.
Or a number 6, because as we know, it is
that's
an
true.
Down nine.
Yeah, yeah. Any number, you've been numbers are ruined for you now.
They're so
Yorkshire puddings
for
are ruined
me.
For you now.
Sharks are ruined for you.
Sharks,
everything.
Dolphins, teenage girls.
I've gone from living my life in colour to living it in grey.
Well, I don't
can
think
we can use that as a pull quote.
I think we should end the episode on that note. So, in the meantime, make sure you get in touch with us on Twitter @FootyBookClub, Instagram @FootyBookClub, or on Facebook. Send your thoughts, your author football puns. We need a lot, despite Jack slagging them off. We need them. Any last words?
Oh. Dolphinarium.
Oh, good one. Yeah. That is a good last word to end on. And, you know.
Shadwell.
Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Natasha Frisco, Jack Bernhardt, and Maisie Adam. It was produced and created by James Bug. Thanks to Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank for writing the book, but where are they now? Well, Jimmy went on to play for Charlton and Cardiff before retiring somewhere in the UK, probably not Shadwell. He's still scared of sharks, but did recently watch a dodgy version of the new Ghostbusters film before it came out. Good for him. Mario Melchio left Chelsea to terrorise fitness coaches at Birmingham. Jimmy's local dolphinarium sadly closed down, and there is no evidence linking teenage pregnancies and vinegar consumption. The music Hills Behind is the work of Silent Partner and is using a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll be back in a fortnight. See you then.